of minutes go by and she's still sitting on the bed, when Derek, wiping a towel at his hair, steps out of the bathroom, surrounded by white steam and the smell of shaving balm. He has a towel wrapped around his waist. A tattoo of a snake winds its way from the towel up his side and over his shoulder, with its tongue forking across his neck. Some of the snake is finely detailed, parts of it really just sketched outlines with more to follow. There are various scars that go hand in hand with a guy like Derek. No doubt an even mixture of good times and bad times. Good times for him, and bad times for others. She lowers the newspaper and smiles.
"What the hell are you doing here?" he asks.
Melissa turns the briefcase toward him and reaches out and presses pause on the stereo. The briefcase actually belongs to Joe Middleton. He left it with her the same day he never came back. "I'm here with the other half of your payment," she says.
"You know where I live?"
It's a stupid question. Melissa doesn't point it out to him. "I like to know who I'm doing business with." He unwraps the towel from his waist, the entire time keeping his eyes on the cash in the briefcase. His dick sways left and right as he starts drying his hair.
"It's all there?"
he asks, still drying his hair, his face at the moment behind the towel and his voice muffled. "Every dollar. Where's the stuff?"
"It's here,"
he says. She knows it's here. She's been following him ever since their initial meeting 2 days ago, where she gave him the first half of the payment. She knows he picked up the stuff only an hour ago. He went from there to here with no stops in between, with a bag full of items his parole officer wouldn't be too pleased about.
"Where?"
she asks. He wraps the towel back around his waist. She figures she could have just come in here and shot him, and searched the house anyway, but she needs him. The stuff probably won't be hard to find. She figures a guy who would ask, "You know where I live?" to somebody standing in their bedroom is the kind of guy who hides things in the roof space or under the floor.
"Show me,"
he says, nodding toward the money. She slides the briefcase toward him on the bed. He steps forward. The 20 grand is made up in $50 and $20 bills. They're stacked neatly into piles, with rubber bands around them. Over the last few years, most of her income has been through blackmailing people or burglaries, some from the men she's killed. But a few months ago, she came into some pretty good money. $40,000, to be precise. He thumbs through some of it, and decides it must all be there. He moves over to the wardrobe. He drags a box of clothes out, then lifts the patch of carpet, and digs a screwdriver into the edge of the floor, and Melissa finds herself rolling her eyes, thinking how lucky guys like Derek are that they can't be charged for stupidity along with other crimes. He pries up the boards. He pulls out an aluminium case the length of his arm. Melissa stands up so he can lay it on the bed. He pops the lid open. There is a rifle broken into separate pieces, all of it slotting into foam cutouts.
AR-15, he says. "Lightweight. Uses a high-velocity, small-caliber round. Extremely accurate. Scope 2, as requested."
She nods. She's impressed. Derek may be stupid, but being stupid doesn't mean you can't be useful. "That's half of it," she says. He goes back to the manhole, reaches in and pulls out a small rucksack. It's mostly black, with plenty of red trim. He sits it on the bed and opens it.
"C4, he says. 2 blocks, 2 detonators, 2 triggers, 2 receivers. Enough to blow up a house. Not enough to do much more. You know how to use it."
"Show me." He picks up one of the blocks. It's the size of a bar of soap.
"It's safe," he says. "You can shoot it, drop it, burn it. Hell, you can even microwave it. You can do this,"
he says, and starts to squeeze it.
"You can mould it into any shape. You take one of these,"
he says, and picks up what looks like a metal pencil, only with wires coming from the end of it.
"And stab it in. Attach the other end to these receivers,"
he says. "Then it's just a matter of firing the trigger. You've got a range of..."